got catcalled this morning on Sunset by a dude who was just like aggressively like saying his number over and over again to me.
Love
and
that.
Then he was like, repeat it back to me. And I was like, what?
Absolutely.
He was like, repeat
not.
It back to me. Like, you're going to text me, right? And I was like, no. And I was waiting for the sign to turn like to the walking sign. And I have this.
Were you walking or
no,
were you
I was
in your car?
For the crosswalk. And I have these pants where I have like stars on my ass. And mm-hmm. he was like, oh, like, you're a star. Like, oh, are you going to text me? Like, most women would be like, you're a bitch if you said that to me. And I'm like, I'm just trying not to get murdered, King, honestly.
Yeah, yes. Like, please don't strangle me.
But I had to repeat his number back to him.
I hate
because
that.
Because he kept saying, like, just one more time and I'm going to text you. Just one more time.
That's awful.
It was awful. It was horrible. So that was a good start to my day.
Great. So you got catcalled.
I got catcalled.
Just walking down the street. Like, it's like the 1970s in Times Square.
He was on a bike.
Shit. Oh, great.
But
he's
I don't,
mobile.
Yeah, he was mobile. I was not mobile. And I was just like, yeah. I don't feel like I've gotten catcalled that much in my life. So I feel like it was a transformative experience.
LA has been kind of a non-catcall zone for
really?
Me. Yeah. Mostly I think I don't leave my house enough to get catcalled yeah. these days, and I keep things relatively cash.
Yeah.
And so when you're just like in like Lululemons and unwashed hair, people tend to not give you any
no.
sort of sexual attention.
Yeah.
But like Chicago, like college were my catcalling days.
Yeah.
Where I still thought it was like kind of funny and cool.
It's honestly like it's not a compliment, but there's some like really sexist part of you that's like, ooh, like men yeah. like me.
It's like, I hope they notice.
I hope they notice. I know.
I like lived above a 7-Eleven where just like all like a bunch of like homeless guys and just like kind of riffraff would come and go. And that was like my whole like coming home from a long night out. I was like, the business section of town had cleared out and I was like, my people, like, hope they
you
notice
had an
me.
Audience
I did.
Night.
Yeah. And I was like, I knew I was killing it if I got like a chorus of cat calls either coming or going.
They were like reviewing your outfit.
Yeah. It was actually really helpful for me.
You were like, not wearing that again. Didn't get cat calls.
Yeah. I live for the applause. And then I moved to LA and all the cat calls stopped.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why do you think the cat calls stop in LA?
Well, it's hard to cat call people in the car. Like if they're in their
car.
Yeah, from another car, you can kind of do it. But like,
I guess that's true. Nobody's walking.
So no one's walking. So if you are walking, you're like prime target.
Yeah.
Do you drive?
I do. I am so bad at driving. All of my huge babe moments so far have been like just scratching my car, like scratching other people's cars, like not knowing how to parallel park. Like, and I was just, I'm going to move to LA and like not know how to drive.
Love
and I
that.
Still don't know how to drive.
Did you get your license when you were 16?
Yeah. And I just, I don't know. I just have had so much like Jewish anxiety about driving. Half my family doesn't drive.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get like a bus at my bat mitzvah to shuttle like half the members of my family who don't drive. So yeah, it was just I already like overcame the odds by getting my driver's license.
Yeah,
and
every day on the road is
every
a miracle.
Day on the road, I'm like I could die at any point.
I just, like it living on the edge.
I know, but I think it's just I don't know how people are expected to maneuver like a giant fucking vehicle. It's,
yeah.
It doesn't come naturally, at least to me.
What kind of car do you have?
A Prius. It's like not that hard to drive.
Priuses, I feel like, are kind of hard to drive.
Not
I feel
really.
Like they have like a lot more blind spots than one would think that they have.
Yeah. Well, at my apartment, they decided, I guess after like more earthquakes were happening, they're like, we have to put these giant like
they retrofitted.
Poles. Yeah. So now my parking spot is like in between another car that's huge and a like giant cement pole.
Mm-hmm.
So every single time I pull out of it, like I definitely, when I first moved there, scratched my car again, trying to come out like the super narrow driveway. But then yesterday I was trying to get out of the driveway and this man who I guess lives in the apartment was like, oh yeah, like everybody scratches their car on that. Like everyone here has scratched their car. So I was like, okay, I thought I was just like an extremely dumb bitch, but I'm glad that I'm not.
No, you're doing great.
In this process.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of your favorite podcast on the planet, babe. I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Halls, and with me today is Julia, aka Binge City on Instagram. Also, what's your last name? I should have asked you this.
My last name is Rosenfeld, but my because I'm Jewish, like, obviously we all have to have, like, a stage name. Mm-hmm. So I just, like, when I put, like, I put out music, too, and it's just Julia Hava, which is my middle name, which coincidentally is also very Jewish. But
yeah.
So I go by Julia Hava.
Okay, online. Julia Hava.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the pod.
I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. I think that you are the youngest person I've ever had on this podcast.
Really?
Yeah. I was realizing today.
Wow.
Because and don't take this the wrong way, I thought that you were like my age.
No,
and you're definitely not. I was like, wow, this like refined sense of humor, like looking up to her so hard, want her to be on the pod. Yeah. And then I was like, kind of just like scrolling through your Instagram, and you're like, I just graduated from college. And I was like, oh my God, she's a baby.
I'm a baby.
I feel really blessed that you actually wanted to do this podcast, because it means I have my finger on the pulse of the youth.
You do. I love this podcast. Thanks. I've been listening to it like so often because I've been driving in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been cackling along. And I found out about the podcast because of Vanderpump Rules, obviously.
Okay, yeah. And the best show on earth.
And you like are so close to this. Like, and now I understand why you're so into it. You could just like walk down the street and like see any of them.
Yeah, I used to be even closer to them. Like, I've lived across the street from James Kennedy at one point.
Wow. Was that intentional? Did you
No.
get into Vanderpump Rules before you moved there? Or
no, I was in, it was when I was living there. I think he moved into the neighborhood after I Okay. did, and then it was like, it was just like a coincidence. Mm-hmm. Life has brought me into their realm, and we keep crashing and crashing against each other.
There's something about it.
Yeah. And I'm like, my goal, one of my biggest goals in life, I think, is to make like meaning out of
Vanderpump Rules.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a really interesting story that I just need your opinion on. I was in LA this summer when the earthquakes happened.
Yeah, same.
And I was in Tom Tom when the second earthquake
happened. Okay, wait. The second one was the scarier
yes,
one.
Yes, and I was in Tom Tom, like two drinks in.
You could have died at Tom Tom.
And I was like, I'm going to fucking die at Tom Tom. And nobody got under the tables, probably because everybody there is a tourist.
Also, okay, Tom Tom's the most dangerous place you could possibly be, because for anyone that doesn't watch Vanderpump Rules but listens to this podcast, a brief history. Lisa Vanderpump owns three restaurants in West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. One of them is Tom Tom, and it's all themed like gears of a clock and then like random hanging light fixtures.
It's proletariat themed.
It's proletariat themed. And like the light fixtures have like, it's like a light, but then like 50 other elements to them.
Yeah,
like there's like beads, there are like vials filled with like random liquids. There's like a knife and a feather.
A knife.
Like it's like random, like it's crafty almost.
Yeah, it's crafty. And all those hideous lamps were just swinging. And that's how I noticed that there was an earthquake. It was so surreal. I was like, I would choose this moment to be in Tom Tom when there's like, what does that mean?
It's beautifully poetic.
It's a I mean, sign you're, from God.
Yeah. And Tom Tom, like the behind the bar is just like a huge, massive clock.
Yes.
I think it's like reminding us our days on this planet are numbered and like how meaningful would it have been to live your last day and breathe your last breath as like the clock comes tumbling down.
I could have been killed by a tumbling
that
clock.
Clock would kill you. It's
wow.
Like rusty gears.
Whenever the big one happens, a sight is going to happen at Tom Tom and somebody's going to get killed by that giant clock.
Yeah. All it takes is one tectonic plate for like any one of the, there's like at least like 50 different things at Tom Tom that could kill you.
And I know Lisa Vanderpump does not follow earthquake code.
No.
There's no way she's paying for the extra.
She's paying off people to like,
yeah,
get everything. Like nothing's up to code.
No.
Like the bar is like taller than the chairs at the bar.
Yeah. It was weird though, because it was a very like Midwestern crowd at Tom Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Not to like drag Midwestern people because I know you're from Oklahoma. But
it's all a Midwestern crowd weird. There now.
It's because I mean, and I understand like why would anyone from LA want to go there?
I think LA people did at first.
For the troll, but yeah. Not. Yeah, but I now, think I was too late for that.
Yeah, because I like when it first opened, it had kind of like it felt like a buzzy place.
Yeah.
Like I went in there and I was like, it's fucking happening
it's
here.
Happening.
And
Miley
then now,
Cyrus had some event there. Right?
Yeah, like yeah. Celebs. I think Gaga has been there.
I remember Chrissy Teigen posted a photo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went there right when the Midwesterners were arriving.
And, yeah, like, and the now huge, they descend upon it.
The huge troll, which like Lisa Vanderpump obviously knows, is that I, of course, ended up spending a ton of money there.
Uh-huh.
Because just for the experience, it's like going to Disneyland. And so yeah. That's how she knows her restaurants are not good and that they're trash.
I know. And yet she loves to like say, like I read something today, like in the Telegraph or something, some British tabloid website where she was like, I just have like such a sense for restaurants and I can go in and when if one thing is off, I know exactly what to do. Like turn the music up a little bit, turn the lights down a little. I was like, bitch, you are... full of shit.
That was not the vibe. The bathrooms in all her restaurants are heinous.
Yeah, they smell like puke. They're like so dirty.
They're so dirty.
It's like you need, they're not like OSHA compliant.
No, they aren't.
No.
I don't know. Yeah, it's not good. But yeah, so I feel like that was, and I still decided to move to LA after I experienced an earthquake in Tom Tom.
So you moved to LA after the earthquake.
So I was visiting this summer, and I feel like that was part, it had to be part of my decision, even subconsciously.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the
You're like, it's dangerous here. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went to Brown.
I went to Brown, yeah.
So you're like pretty smart.
I'm pretty smart, meaning mostly I just like really hated my life in high school.
Yeah.
Because I thought if I got into Brown, all my problems would be solved.
Mm-hmm. Which is like, you're like in the Ivy Leagues now and things change.
Yeah, and also my parents met at Brown when they were 19. So I was like, I'm going to go to Brown and like meet my husband. Obviously that didn't happen.
Anyone meet their husband in college anymore?
I don't know, but like my dad was in a band and like my mom like saw him play and then they were like, they've literally been together since then. So I was like, of course, like, because first of all, men obviously solve your problems. Second of all, like college will solve my problems. I was like, perfect. Like all I have to do is like work myself to the bone in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to get my husband.
I love, you're like very Mona Lisa smile about like college. Pre-college, you were coming at it from like.
It was a very strategic decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how did you find it there?
I mean, I loved college, but definitely, I mean, I think my whole Instagram is also just like the realization that men are trash.
You hate men.
I hate men.
I mean, love like, it.
I don't want to say, I can't really say I hate men on Instagram because all of the meninists will like report me and I'll get shadow banned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get really mad about
they
that.
Really
and you get
mad.
Comments from like men that are really mad about like, and you don't even really come for them that hard.
No, I feel like I just make, most of it is just commentary on the way that heterosexual relationships work, which is badly.
Yeah.
And just like the gaslighting things that men say.
And then men get really in they a get tizzy really about it. Well, I love it. Yeah. That's like the thing that makes them so mad.
Well, I have this series called The Dumbest Shit Men Have Ever Said to Me.
Yeah.
And people are like, men didn't say any of this stuff. I'm like, then why do I have 3,000 submissions from people?
Yeah.
That all like say the same kind of shit. It's just like, I mean, I started it because I hooked up with this guy who said, I've never eaten a fruit before. And I was like, what?
No.
What do you mean you've never eaten a fruit before? And that was like, I just started writing down things that Ben would say to me that were just so fucking stupid.
Did he explain his fruit past?
I don't know. He was a...
like, I'm...
He was a lacrosse player, which I'm like, I feel like... you need to be eating
like have
fibers.
You eaten a banana? Yeah.
No, I think it was like a pear specifically that he had never eaten.
And so he just thought a pear was all fruit.
All fruits. And
all
then,
fruit is pear.
Was
he
not
a student at Brown?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
no,
good. Because that I was going to be like, well, Brown is taken
no, there
down
are some,
a notch.
There are some people who are dumb at Brown.
It's pass fail. So
it is pass fail.
That's like... it's not like a Harvard, but yeah. It still is.
Well, you
like
can definitely pay your way into any Ivy League. So
yeah, any college, as it turns
yeah,
out.
Any
yeah,
any college. But yeah, he also was like, I don't think drunk driving is a problem unless you get caught. And I was like, and I still hooked up with him because
well,
of course I did.
I'll bet that was a good hookup, wasn't it?
It was a good hookup.
Yeah,
it was because he was
dumb.
So
people
dumb.
Make really good lovers. I think
I'm learning that. What kind of like dumb hookups have, so you like the best people you've slept with, you're like, they were dumb as a rock?
Some dumbs I've slept with that have been great, but then some not so great. I think, like, obviously I've had sex with like someone that I was super in love with, and that was like amazing.
Were they
sex
dumb?
No, okay. They were like, we were both really smart, okay. And then like in love with each other, and then just had like great sex.
Okay, that makes sense.
But then I've also had great sex with like a total sociopath, like psycho.
But that's like,
that's like classic.
That's classic.
But then dumbs, they do really, they're just, I think they're just like controlled by some sort of animal, like nature kind of takes
more,
over.
Like, they're so, like, more in the present moment. Like, yeah. they're more enlightened than we are.
They are.
Because they're not thinking about stuff.
Yeah.
They're just like experiencing the present moment for what it is.
Yeah. Oftentimes I've wished stupidity upon myself, because like if you have anxiety or something, you're just like stuck in your head, or like it would be way easier to just be a stupid idiot and like
so much easier
walk through the world just like happy as a clam every day.
I do wonder if those I mean, I guess there must be people like that. I feel like in LA
there's a lot of people like
and
that.
You think they're really just fully happy?
I think some people live unquestioning lives where it's
love
just like they accept, they just like see things as they are and accept that that's like the way, and just like don't have a lot of questions.
I love like someone who has no questions for life.
She's like,
accepting cool. It as it is.
It's probably a very like peaceful existence.
Yeah.
If you're dumb and also like mentally ill, then that's,
but
I think
we're
thinking. Yeah, I think it does.
Okay.
But like, I feel like now I'm picturing like some sort of one of those chaotic like charts or whatever. But it's like chaotic stupid or like chaotic
stupid.
Mentally ill. Or
somebody needs to make one of those.
Yeah, maybe that can be. That's not super your style.
I feel like I would. I used
you
to
would
make
do
more
a
stuff
really.
Like that.
Yeah,
yeah. I need to make more things like that.
Yeah, but I think like if you're just like happy and that's probably the best combination.
Yeah. If you're happy and
dumb, because
you're
just attracting other like positive vibes.
I don't think anyone who's happy and dumb probably listens to this podcast. But if you know someone who's happy and dumb, I just want to know, like, what
yeah,
that's like.
Be jealous of them.
Be jealous of them.
Is it possible to be happy and dumb and then realize that you're dumb and then change it? And then are you still happy afterwards?
I feel like that's such a specific scenario. Dumb people ever like come to that realization where they're like, I'm dumb and it's time for me to educate myself?
I don't know.
I don't think that happens.
Maybe sometime, like in the movies it happens.
There's a lot of things that happen in the movies that turn out to not be true.
So you started your account in college?
Yeah, when I was a sophomore in college.
Okay.
I was really fucking depressed and Trump had just won the election.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like, I used to do a lot of like more music stuff and poetry, and I was like, my brain is on lo-fi mode. I cannot do anything that requires more energy than like making a meme. So I was just making a lot of memes that were like very specific about my depression and like anonymously following people from my school just to like freak them out. And then it just randomly, people were like, yeah, I'm fucking depressed too. And I was like, okay, cool.
That's, I feel like you're one of the people at the forefront of like depression memes.
Depression. I'm so proud to be a leader of the forces of depression memes.
Yeah.
Brave soldiers.
Totally. You're paving the way. So you started to get a following in college?
Yeah.
Or was it just like for fun? Or
I was just doing it for fun, and I was seeing people make those kind of long form memes that were just like the more specific you can get while still being relatable to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started like churning like three of those out a day.
Yeah,
so I was just like maniacally making memes, and it like did very well, because I mean, when you're really mentally fucked up, the creativity just flows.
Yeah.
Really flows.
And it's good to have some sort of like consistent creative output. Mm-hmm. No matter what form it comes in.
Yeah.
And so if it has to be a meme, it has to be a meme.
Yeah. And I think that,
and memes are actually like high art. I feel like we'll look back, where is like, there needs to be like a meme museum or something.
People have done some exhibits and they've asked me if they can put like my memes in there. People have interviewed me for like theses on memes. So it's very bizarre. I mean, there's I think it's just, it's interesting though. And I think that like, I was a psych student. So I do think that there's some ways in which like memes have definitely destigmatized mental illness on the internet for sure. But then also like totally worsen it for some people. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's really interesting. Like the power of memes.
The power of lols, I think specifically.
The power
of lols,
yeah.
And the power of like there's so many different types of memes. Mm-hmm. Like there's memes that are truly just like, that mean nothing, that like it's just like people putting a bunch of words just like totally meaningless are really funny.
Yeah.
Then there was some meme I saw recently that was like, or I feel like they always around New Year's they're like forecasting the memes of next year. Yes. But it'll just be like a picture of like a foot, and it's like even just thinking, because that is like how it's born sometimes, it's just like a random image.
And I think memes have taught me a lot about like things just being impermanent in life, because memes will like rise and fall. Kylie Jenner will kill a meme with her rise and shine meme, like that one rose so quickly and was murdered by her monetizing it. And it's just like things don't last forever, you know.
That's
like
so true.
It's a good reminder.
It's a memes are like kind of Buddhism.
They kind of, honestly, not to go too far, but I think they are. I think like the Buddha would love memes.
He would love it. He was laughing all the time anyways.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like, especially for me, like being raised very culturally Jewish, we just are constantly lolling at our suffering. That's just like how the Jewish people cope, which requires you to have like a certain level of self-awareness, which I think is really also good for you mentally. Like you just can't take yourself that seriously.
Yeah. And you have to be able to see the humor in like any given situation.
Yeah. It's like the gaga, I have to laugh.
Yeah.
Like that's just me constantly. Like there's some points I think when things just get so fucked up that you're like, I have to laugh. Like I just have to laugh.
The irony is never lost on me.
No.
And then the moment that it is, like when my lols are gone, which now I'll enter zones where it's like, but I have to do like the halt, like hungry, angry, lonely, tired with myself. Because sometimes I'll just enter a zone where it's like I have no lols left, and I'm like very devastated about like a lot of shit, not even a thing that happened, but I'll just go into like a null zone. Like it's like the end of the day, or like I haven't eaten enough, or I'm tired. So then in recovery, there's this term halt where it's like, if you want to use, you check in with yourself and you say like, am I hungry? Am I angry? Am I lonely? Am I tired? So if you're one of those or a combination. Yeah. So I do that with my lols, and then I'm like, why am I not lolling? Why like if I not? Lost my lols, and then it's usually like I'm hungry.
The lols like will come though. There's a lot of situations where you're like, I can never lol about this. And then little by little, the lols will arrive.
You can lol at any single thing that happens to you.
And I think that that's also what the internet shows, like in very fucked up ways. Like there is nothing that is sacred.
And I love that.
I love
that. That's my favorite part. One of my favorite parts about the internet
is
that there's someone making fun of whatever horrible thing you're reading. Somewhere someone's making funny content about it.
They are. And it's just, I mean, like the whole Bush did 9/11 thing.
Love it.
That was, I mean, I saw a lot of people like joking about like the Gypsy Rose story, like, which I love.
Gypsy Rose is major. I'm really into the Epstein didn't commit suicide like memes right now. What memes are you into right now, aside from your own?
I'm really into those memes that are like the Facebook status memes that I think they started with, like the all like girls do is like be bisexual, eat hot chip and lie. Oh, and charge they phone. Something like that. I love that meme. I think it's so funny. And there are some accounts that just like will only post those Facebook statuses. And they're so funny. Like I saw one that was like, bitches be like, he's my world. Like, girl, this is your third world this month. Are you trying to build a solar system? And I'm just like, that's so good.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, God.
What memes are you into these days?
Besides the
Jeffrey Epstein memes.
Jeffrey Epstein, and then, like, honestly, like, anything with Kermit the Frog is making me laugh a lot. Not just, like, the dark. I feel like I saw something the other day where it was, like, a dancing Kermit or something that made me laugh.
Yeah.
But bringing, like, a Muppet into something.
Muppets, yeah. Muppets
will really do it for me.
They add, like, a garnish to a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or it was, like, Kermit, like, pissing on something. It was, like, really just, like, weird, but I loved it.
I love anything that's been, like, filtered multiple times, like a deep-fried meme.
Yeah.
I love a surreal meme. Any, like, the less sense it makes, like, I feel like I'm at this point where, like, it has to be so bizarre for me to laugh at it. And I just love that, like, people still keep coming up with stuff that will make me laugh.
Yeah. Who are your favorite accounts on Instagram?
I really love If I Die, Recover My Hard Drive and Patia's Fantasy World. I think those are my favorite two right now. They're not like huge accounts, but they just post content that is just like ridiculous and it always makes me crack up. I feel like the place to get memes, and I'm like a hypocrite for saying this, like, isn't necessarily Instagram, because Instagram will just repost a lot of stuff on Twitter.
Yeah. Where do you get, like, do people just get their memes from Reddit? Is that where?
I actually didn't ever start using Reddit until the Caroline Calloway stuff, and then I was like aggressively following it, like reading every comment, and I was like, I thought Reddit was for incels until the Caroline Calloway drama, and I was like, now I'm a Redditor. Like,
yeah, you're in the community.
Yeah,
I think that a 4chan still, like, I don't know what 4chan is. Yeah, like, I don't think I've ever even been on 4chan. Like, I'm unclear if it's like a website or like what it is, but I just thought, like, that's incel territory. I'm gonna stay away.
But
Reddit is kind of cool. There's like cool stuff going on.
There is some cool stuff, but I do feel like I kind of have this inner block towards Reddit where I'm like, I don't want to use Reddit too much because I worry I'm gonna like border on insult territory.
Yeah, I don't want to get too deep. Like, I wouldn't want to uncover like an incel community, like find myself in the midst of one, and it would really dark me out.
Yeah,
so I keep it pretty like surface level. Mm-hmm. Like, I have things on my homepage that I enjoy. And but then, did, like, I'll dip into, like, blog snark.
When I was really... Now I'm, like, everybody knows about Caroline Calloway now. Like, it's not really... I don't know. I'm not, like, as into it as I was. But when she was really, like, spiraling before the Natalie stuff, and I was just, like, every single thing she would post, people would comment on. And it was just, like... It's
incredible.
Addicting. It was incredible. And, like, I was just so amazed by, like, how, like... intelligently people were commenting on everything she did. Like, it could have been like a huge thesis that was written by a bunch of people.
I know, there needed to be like a podcast or something.
I think there
detailing
is one now.
Oh, detailing like the whole thing.
Yeah, they just have like a Caroline Calloway
podcast. Wow. Yeah. Okay, I need to check that out.
I think it's called Pardon My Snark, and I think it's just about Caroline Calloway.
Well, she gives enough content that it's like you could then make content based on her content.
She's famous. She makes men sign NDAs before she goes on.
Oh my god, yeah, I saw that too. I love that she makes them sign NDAs, but then she like talks about everything that happened.
She posts,
except now she's now taking a step back and like not gonna talk about
it. She's saying that. It's like Taylor Swift, whatever you're emulating about Taylor Swift not talking about her relationship, like, she wasn't like, hey you guys, I'm gonna take a step back, like, I'm not gonna be posting.
Yeah, it's not coming out of like an organic
place of discovery.
It's like, God, I remember when Taylor Swift did this, like, I'm gonna do this. Yeah. The Taylor Swift fandom of the whole situation with her, really
so creepy.
That is what freaks me out maybe the most.
Well, she's like, I know that me and Taylor Swift are going to be friends one day, and I know I'm going to be a great friend to her.
I feel like she's probably right.
She probably is right. Like, she probably will be friends with Taylor Swift.
Taylor loves friends. Like, she loves having friends, collecting friends. Yeah, she's like all about it. So it makes sense that, like,
wasn't that like one of, I don't think, is she like really about friends anymore? I think she was really about friends for like one of her other albums.
Publicly about friends for other stuff. Yeah. But I think she's probably still really about friends. She just learned that, like, it's a bad look to just be publicly.
And you went
so
viral for that one video where you were talking all about Taylor Swift's friends.
Mm-hmm. My shining moment.
Shining,
in the sun.
And I remember watching that and I was like, that's so funny.
Love that. A full circle moment.
How did that blow up? Was it just.
I went on a trip with my, like, a group of my friends. Mm-hmm. We stayed at the Parker in Palm Springs for like a night, mm-hmm. and then just got like really fucked up. And then the next day we all woke up and we were having like really intense, like, hangover lols.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, when you just reach like a, like, there's a specific type of hangover where you're not like in pain, but you're just like laughing
at
everything.
You're just feeling really kooky.
Yeah, you're really kooky and really goofy, and everything makes you laugh.
Yeah.
And so it was just like perfect alchemy of like welcoming people to the stage. And then my friend Ed filmed it and like put it on Snapchat, and then he just like exported his Snapchat video.
Did
and we
she
turned
ever
it into
see
a YouTube.
It? Do you know she ever saw it?
I think that she did, and I don't think she liked it. I mean, I've never known for like a fact. Like, I've never had it confirmed from like a source that I could trust.
She's somebody who just like cannot loll.
No, she has no lolls.
There's no like self-reflection. There's no.
If someone made something like that about me, I would die.
I would die. I would
be so
happy. But nobody
happy.
Would because you don't like do dumb enough shit for people.
I know, but I would feel seen almost. Like yeah. It would be like you're honoring me and you see me.
You see me
and you're
for
calling
who I really
me out
am.
And that means you care.
Yeah, that's like that's my love language is like negging people.
Yeah, and like I love being made fun of and like teased.
Yeah.
I'm like like in the moment I'll be like I hate it, but then I really like appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And like I don't know if anyone's teased Taylor and Liv to tell the tale.
I think she would sue them.
Yeah. And I was really worried that like the video was going to get taken down because it had her song playing in the background.
Oh,
like
it did.
The song where she takes people and to the stage. But then I think her label realized my theory is, and this is based on just me.
Okay.
Like I have no source or information on this. But I think what happened is the video got big kind of quickly. Mm-hmm. And then she realized if this gets removed from the internet, it's going to look bad. Like I'm going to look salty about it. So then I got some sort of notification through YouTube that like the video has been monetized, but not by me.
No, you didn't get any money.
No, I didn't get any money. So I think her label then like somehow monetized
the
video.
She had to have seen it then.
Yeah. And so she had to have seen it.
Wow.
Because you know she's on everyone's ass about, like, copyright
she
and whatever.
She definitely, like, Googles her own name a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was, like, searching Tumblr and, like, responding to people's, like, posts about her.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Taylor, if you're listening, like, I think that we could, if you are ready to loll about Please Welcome to the Stage.
Has it been
a good hang?
It's been enough time.
It's been enough time. Yeah, she's in a whole new phase of life.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's up to.
Who's
I don't super keep up.
Be friends with Taylor Swift first, you or Caroline Calloway?
I don't know.
That's going to be the race.
Caroline could get in there, but then I think Caroline would win a Gram about it, and I don't know if Taylor's about being that public anymore.
No way.
I wonder what Taylor thinks about the Natalie situation.
I don't
and
think
all
she
of that.
Probably knows anything about it because I think Caroline thinks she's a lot more relevant than she actually is.
I thought that she was a lot more like I
she
brought it up in therapy.
Me.
And I was like, you know, like, have you been following like the Caroline and Natalie stuff? And my therapist was like, who? Like, no. And I was like, and then I just had to have like an awkward moment of like explaining the backstory. And then as I was explaining, I was like, wow, this is like lame.
I literally gave a presentation about Caroline Calloway to an LMU class because my aunt teaches at LMU and I was at one of her events and I met this like professor and he was like, oh, you do social media stuff, like whatever, can you talk to my class?
Yeah.
And I was like, sure. And then he was like, can you specifically talk about Caroline Calloway? And I was like, yeah. I would love nothing more. So I put together like a huge fucking PowerPoint about Caroline Calloway and like nobody in the class knew who she was.
What?
Yeah. So I was like, she clearly is not. And I like diagnosed her with histrionic personality disorder.
I love getting medical about
no,
things.
I did. I'm like, I've worked in psych hospitals. I can diagnose her. I'm allowed to do that.
So what is histrionic personality disorder? You're just like a drama queen?
No. So histrionic personality disorder is like kind of a subset of narcissistic personality disorder, but it's specifically like really like weirdly sexual and inappropriate context. So like her being like posting nudes and being like, my dad just committed suicide. Like that's...
Okay.
And it's very much like attention seeking, approval seeking, as opposed to like people who are narcissistic. They don't really necessarily care that much about getting other people's approval.
Mm-hmm.
But she cares so much about getting people's approval.
Yeah.
And also she's like really like doesn't really have boundaries, like, and will say things like that are really sexual and really odd context. And
yeah, I've noticed that where it's like trying to make a sexual joke, but then it just kind of feels like, ooh.
And like, that's like the key part of, I believe, histrionic personality disorder is like being like oddly sexual in contexts that don't make sense.
Wow.
So like I have no clinical license.
You took your theories to a college class.
I took my psych degree and I was like, I'm going to diagnose her. I've read the DSM. I can do that. And the thing is, the professor was like, sure, if you want to diagnose her, you can. And I was like, really?
Love that. I was like, everyone's not doing their jobs correctly.
I'm like, I definitely shouldn't be allowed to diagnose her, but like, love that I'm going to do that.
Also,
anyway.
I love that your professor and you were like, yes, what a great class to teach. And all the students were like, who is this?
They
like,
didn't know who she was, but now they know. For
yeah.
Sure.
No. Now they know everything they need to know.
But I don't think they were lolling. I think they were like, what the fuck? This is really, like, weird and depressing.
I need, like, a census report of who knows about Caroline Calloway. Because I just assume it's truly every single person in the world was educated with, like, the Caroline and Natalie drama. It was like, oh, we're all on the same page. Like, what's your opinion on this?
But I think that happens to me a lot with, like, various things where I just assume everybody's, like, seen a video, or I'll, like, talk in memes or, like, act out a gif in public and people will be like, what the fuck? What the fuck are you doing?
They're like, are you having a seizure?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you don't. And then it's like, you have to explain it. And it's really, I do a lot of, like, I feel like whenever I have a conversation with someone, I need to bring, like a PowerPoint of references. I have, like, my whole life is, like, work cited. Like,
yeah.
Just with memes.
When did you, so you moved out here 3 months ago?
Yeah, like I think it's like 2.5 months. It's been very recent.
So, and how much time had you spent on the West Coast prior to moving here?
Well, my mom is from LA and she grew up here, and my grandparents live in LA and my aunt lives here, so I've spent a lot of time here, but not like any extended,
not a full immersion
experience.
You're a Cali girl now.
I know, but people always say that I have sounded like a Valley girl my whole life.
If anyone had asked me, I would have been like, she's an LA native.
Which, like, just makes me feel like I sound stupid, which, like, love that.
Love that, yeah.
It's like, I really, and I don't, I guess my mom must talk like it a little bit, but I fully did not grow up in LA, and I sound like I did.
Yeah, I wonder, because, like, I get a lot of haters that come at me for, like, vocal fry or upspeak, but I'm just like,
which is sexist.
I know, which
why?
I'm like,
I don't know, but I just think it's sexist.
I know, I love when anyone, I was like, well, fair critique, like, that both are true, but I don't care, but, like, weird that you would really find such a problem with it, like,
I know,
whatever.
Yeah,
but then I saw somewhere someone was like, that's really sexist, and then I was like, yeah, you know what, it is fucking sexist.
Like, the same thing of, like, air-conditioned, like, offices are sexist.
There's that is actually true.
Yeah,
I mean, showers are sexist now. I have a whole theory, because, like, I had to replace my shower head recently, and they have this thing on newly manufactured shower heads that's called a flow restrictor. So you can't get, like, the water pressure that you really desire in order to take, like, a shower that will, like, softly beat you down and, like, actually clean you.
Yeah.
And as, like, a fellow girl with thick hair,
I have,
you
such
know how important
hair.
The, like, water pressure is to get a good shampoo and wash out conditioner. So I installed the shower head, and, like, you can't remove the flow restrictor. I think in California specifically, like, it's, like,
that's fucked up.
Not done. And so I had to, like, go on YouTube and, like, watch
hack
all
it?
These videos and hack it. But then I was like, the flow restrictor is sexist because guys don't need as much water pressure as women need.
I feel like people don't talk enough about, like, how much of a grueling experience taking a shower is. Like, when you have to wash your hair, and for me, like, I have to fully comb through my hair, like, I have, like, hair balls that just, like, come out because I have so much hair.
Yeah.
And it's like, this isn't, like, a casual experience for me. It's like, I, and people are like, you take such long showers. Like, yeah, I have to.
Yeah, it's an undertaking.
I have to.
I have to too. And people have given me shit in the past, and I'm like, what do you want from me? Like, do you want me to have a pancake dread? Like, I have to condition and comb my hair
deep
out
condition.
With a comb in the shower, or else it will just be whatever time I'm saving. Well, then I will just spend it trying to detangle.
Yeah. It's not. And whenever people are like, oh, I just, like, love taking a shower, it's, like, so relaxing. I'm like working in the shower. I'm fully, like, doing my, like, I'm combing through, like, ripping knots out of my hair. It's not, like, a really relaxing self-care experience for me.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be, but, like, I live in, this building is super old, and, like, my shower, the hot water stops after a certain amount of time. Mm. So I've had to learn, like, because my favorite thing would be to take, like, a 45-minute shower. If I
minimum.
Could just, yeah, minimum.
Yeah.
Because then I get the work out of the way, and then I can just, like, relax and fantasize and, like, sing and just, like, talk to myself and do a litany of things that I need to fill that time frame. But now I get, like, maybe 15 minutes top. So I've had to really learn how to, like,
you get no self-care
efficiently.
Time.
No. And so the only self-care time I get is if I just do, like, a body shower. But then my hair can't be, like, part of the equation.
This is like a military shower.
I know. It's really intense. I'm oppressed. Shower.
Yeah, I don't like
shower
that.
Wise, I'm very oppressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wait, so what do you use for your hair? Like, what's your, like, hair journey?
I really need to... People always ask me that, and I really need to post about it because I feel like I, first of all, hated my hair so much when I was little because it's so curly.
You have, like, the perfect, like, curl texture of hair.
Thank you.
Like, you have, like, Carrie Bradshaw curly hair.
Yeah, I guess I do. But, like, when I was little, like, people would always, like, obviously, like, boing my hair, like, mm-hmm. behind me and stuff. And, like, I remember one time I dressed up as Hilary Duff for Halloween, and this girl in my class was like, you don't look like Hilary Duff. Like, you have curly hair. And I was like, all I wanted was, like, to fucking look like Hilary Duff for my costume. And so, like, it's been a journey. But I use Diva Curl products, and there's okay. specifically this product called No Poo, which is, like, not really shampoo because it's really bad for you to shampoo your hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that, and then I use like half a bottle of conditioner on my hair every single time.
Yeah.
And like have to fully comb through it, and I leave all the conditioner in. I don't wash any of it out.
Really?
Yeah. When you have curly hair, you have to like keep it all in, and then you like put on a gel that like basically locks it all into place.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know about
so
that.
So I have like half a bottle of conditioner in my hair at all times.
At all times.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But you don't have to wash. The thing is like...
But it doesn't feel like that to you?
No, and then you don't really have to wash.
Because your hair texture is such that it soaks up the conditioner.
Yeah, and then you don't really have to wash your... Like you can keep... If you do your hair right, you can keep it for a week and like just put on like a shower cap and take a shower. And like you basically have done your hair for the week, which is nice.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't know about that like curly hair life.
Yeah.
Because mine just gets wavy at max and then... That's it.
There was a moment though, like definitely in middle school where when I hated my hair and I would just do like a side braid moment, like every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just be like, I would like comb my hair like into this side braid and it would just be like that every single day. And like, I remember I got in trouble so much in class for braiding my hair in class. And like,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like that's like a huge thing is like getting yelled at the teacher.
For braiding your hair?
Yeah. I mean, I thought.
Because you're not paying attention to like what's going on in school?
I guess. I saw something on Twitter the other day that was like real internet thoughts, like all got yelled at in class for braiding their hair and like doing other. And they're like, this is not a hair salon. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I got yelled at a lot for that.
Whoa, that seems unfair.
It was unfair.
I hate that. I hate teachers.
And
sometimes.
Then I would take my hair out of the braid and it would be like all like kind of like crimped. And I would be like, ooh, my hair's less curly now. Like that's good.
The crimping was the best part of getting like hair braided. Mm-hmm. Like I would do in high school, like the two French braids
yeah.
and then do like a crimp. And then
well,
I'd
people
be like,
do that to make their hair curly, but it makes my hair less curly. So yeah. that's why I would do it.
Wow.
Yeah. But now I'm fully accepting.
You've embraced the curl.
Yeah. It takes me like 3.5 hours to straighten my hair. So I'm obviously not going to do that.
Do you have to like first blow dry with a round brush?
I mean, I never
brush?
Do it. But then like definitely there are those moments where I would straighten my hair when I was younger. And people are like, oh my God, you look so much better. And I'm like,
that's actually so rude.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, one of my stepmoms had like...
How many stepmoms do you
have? I've had two stepmothers.
Okay.
I'm on this... My dad stopped at like the second stepmom slash third wife. But the first stepmom had like extreme curly hair like mm-hmm. yours, except she was just like naturally blonde and like looked like a Barbie. Mm-hmm. And then I remember when she would like straighten her hair. I was just like in awe of like her hair.
I mean, period. Yeah, my hair would be like down to my ass if I straightened it.
Yeah, it would get like three times longer.
Yeah.
And I was like, how? Like, what is this hair math that's happening? So wait, do you like LA, like being here, or do you prefer East Coast?
I really am liking living in LA so far. I feel like I have a little bit of Stockholm syndrome where like I'm expecting it to be cold and it's weird to me that I'm not suffering
mm-hmm.
in that way. But I love like wearing dresses because they don't require you to put on like two items of clothing.
Yeah.
And I always wear dresses and people are like, oh my God, like you really wear a lot of dresses. I'm like, yeah, it's one piece of fabric and that's what I need. I just want to put on one piece of fabric and like go out the door.
Yeah.
So I've been getting to do a lot of like dress like vibes here, which I like. I mean, I don't love driving, but like, it's okay. I feel like I'm adjusting to it. It's, people are so nice here,
mm-hmm.
which is shocking to me.
Yeah.
Like people, if you go to the grocery store, people will be like, how are you doing today? And I'm like, what the fuck? How do you, what does that mean? Like, I don't know.
Everyone greets each other. They greet each like other. That. Yeah.
And like your neighbors will say hi to you. And I'm just used to like, I've spent a lot of time in New York and people will just like yell at you if you like talk to them. And that's just not how people
mm-hmm.
talk.
I think it's like the sunshine makes people like, seem yeah, happier. Yeah. And also like I just love, comparatively speaking, like to New York, where sometimes you'll just look around and you realize everyone looks so miserable.
Yeah.
And that really fucks with me. I'm just like, why are we living in this like simulation
dystopian
of like misery
world.
And then LA people just like look happier.
Yeah.
But then that's also kind of fucked up because you realize you're like, why am I so depressed?
Yeah, I think everyone's the thing about so like that I miss a little bit about the East Coast is when it's just, you're just like depressioning out and it's like pouring rain and you're like, now the weather matches my depression. Like I can just like go out and like listen to like the Smiths and like cry about my life in public and like no one's gonna ask me like how I am, like
mm-hmm.
because nobody cares if you're crying in public on the East Coast.
Yeah.
But if you cry in public on the West Coast, people are gonna be like, is something wrong with you?
Yeah, you'll get like a look or something.
And unless it's like the whole city is in flames, like the weather's just not gonna match
mm-hmm.
whatever depression mood you're going through.
You missed a really good like depression winter because it was so rainy this last winter that it was just like, it was like dark and cozy and
maybe
rainy.
We'll get another depression
I'm
winter
praying
this
we get another one because I really like it when it gets like that, like
yeah.
I don't think I'd want to live in that kind of weather full time, no. But I really crave like cozy weather like that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you just get kind of a cut here. It's like, you're just privileged. It's like so nice all the time, as opposed to like now because of global warming on the East Coast, there's like one day where it's 70 degrees. Otherwise
yeah.
it's 100 degrees or like 20 degrees and there's mm-hmm. nothing in between.
Yeah. It goes, it's like operates in extremes.
Yeah.
I hate that.
We're talking about weather.
I know, like, but I love, have you reached the point of your LA journey where like the days meld into each other?
Yeah, I don't know what season it is. It's really weird.
Yeah.
And, like, it's November and I mean, the only way I know that it's November is because it gets dark at 5 p.m.
Yeah. And like, you can't remember what you did like a few days ago because it's sunny all the time.
And I already feel like I don't remember what I do every day.
Yeah. That's like the most disorienting part of like first living here.
Do you think that like happens? You just,
yeah.
Like, don't...
That happened to me where people would be like, what'd you do this weekend? And I actually was like, I have no idea. Like, I can't differentiate. Every day is the same day over and over.
Yeah. I think that's also just being depressed.
Yeah.
If those like coincided with each other. I think that is
yeah, probably
part of it.
That too.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that in there. You talk a lot about mental illness and mental health issues on your platform. When did you start doing that?
I kind of
with the dawn of your Instagram journey.
My Instagram journey started with like me just bitching about my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in therapy since I was like 15. Like I had my mental health journey very early because I was so fucking mentally ill. Like I was just super, super anxious as a kid. And I think all of it is like Jewish inherited trauma, like honestly. But
yeah,
my whole family is like super anxious. And so I was just having panic attacks when I was in high school. And that it wasn't like cool to be having panic attacks then.
Yeah.
Like I totally had to lie about going to therapy because it was not cool. But then when I was in college and everyone was having their like mental breakdown moment, I was like, I am here like to help you all through it because I've already done it. I mean, not that I stopped having mental breakdowns, but I do think that I was like, all right, I've come to terms with the fact that like I need to be on like medication.
And, yeah. Like, you wilded
go to
out and got
I
through
it
that
out.
Early.
It wasn't like a fun. That's the thing is I feel like I missed my wilding out like teenager experience because I was just like on medication.
Yeah. That's kind of nice though to like skip that part because I feel like I didn't really come to like a medication realization until a few years ago, but I had like a wild teenage period that then led to like a boarding school, like a therapeutic mm-hmm. boarding school for troubled teens. So I learned a lot of like just like self-help type of therapy stuff. So like my emotional intelligence was high, but I was still really like battling with depression and anxiety for a really long time before it was like, oh, I could just like go on medication that will help a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that like that I do feel very lucky to have realized that young. And like, I'm really lucky that my mom was like, bitch, you need to go to therapy, because yeah. I really did. And I remember my mom tried to send me to the school psychologist when I was like in elementary school. And I was like, I don't need to see a psychologist. Like, why would you send me there? Like, I'm not like fucked up. I don't need to do that. And I was like, no, I probably definitely did at that age. But now I am like, I love therapy. It's like getting a brain massage every week.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I do feel lucky that like I figured that out kind of earlier, because I don't know how I would have handled it if I was just in the middle of college and suddenly realized that.
No, that would be the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I think that's part of the reason why I just like assumed that you were older than you are, is because I'm like, wow, she knows so much about mental illness. She must have been around for a while.
I know. Yeah. But then it's like kind of not fun, because then it's like everyone else is wilding out and like just being self-destructive. And you're like, fuck, like I feel like I know better. And now I'm like, and also because antidepressants like so intensely like damper your sex drive, I like wasn't really ever like a whore. So I feel like I missed out on that too, because my teenage hormones were like suppressed by Zoloft.
Yeah. Are you on Zoloft now?
I'm still on Zoloft. Yeah.
It was like a home run med for you.
Yeah. I mean, it really like decreased my OCD thoughts. So I really love that. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's so hard, because some part of you is like all like natural, like almost like bordering on anti-vax, where you're like, I shouldn't be on anything, like I shouldn't put anything into my body. And then the other side of me is when I'm like losing, I'm like, I should be in a medically induced coma right now.
Yeah. I'm like, where's the lithium?
Yeah, where's the lithium?
I'm like, should I just get electroshock therapy?
Yeah,
like,
should I get a lobotomy?
I'm ready.
Yeah. But yeah, so I feel like there have been times where I'm like, I should maybe be on less medication. And then life is like, no, sis, you need to be fully on medication.
Just stick with it.
Yeah, but I've gone like up and down and on and off of it. And I think therapy is way more helpful than medication. I think shrooms are way more helpful than medication.
Yeah, I think any sort of psychedelic experience can be really, really helpful if it's in the right setting and like with the right people.
Yeah, and I'm like, totally like... every first date, I'm like, let me tell you about how shrooms cured my depression. Like,
Wait, how did shrooms cure your depression?
I mean, I like did shrooms when this was like my depression sophomore year. And I feel like it felt like I did 10 years of therapy, like after doing them once. And I just like came to this realization where, I mean, it's kind of like ego death, your inner narrator that's like constantly criticizing yourself and other people just drops away.
Yeah.
And you just realize like, oh my God, there's another way of living besides being like fucking miserable all the time. And I think that even though I've like obviously struggled with depression and other things since then, like now when I get depressed, I'm like, all right, I have to like go back and like meditate and like read my books that like I feel like help guide me. And like, instead of like, and I used to just be like, I'm just going to take a depression nap and like zone out. So I feel like ever since I did them, like I have an awareness that like there is a way to be that's not just like fucking depressed all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever would have believed that that existed if I didn't like kind of have that like mental switch. So that's how I feel like shrooms cured my depression. My autobiography. I literally like won't shut the fuck up about it to everybody.
Were you with friends when you did them?
I was, yeah. But I think a lot of people, first of all, like don't do hallucinogens if you have trauma that you haven't worked through, because it will come out.
Yeah, and don't just be like willy-nilly like, yeah, I'm gonna take a ton of like shrooms tonight.
No,
see what happens.
Definitely,
like,
don't do that.
You know, dip your toe in the water.
But I think I mean, I don't think anybody can debate that. And I've read like full New York Times articles. They do make a huge difference for people with like PTSD and with anxiety and depression. So I think, I mean, obviously I'm not like, go to Coachella and like do shrooms and your depression will be cured. Like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Really? I've been to like 5 Coachellas and I have done, I think shrooms are some drug at most of them, if not all of the times that I've been. And there was, out of those times, just one time where I was like, had a really transformative like shroom experience.
It's easier if you're, I mean, honestly, I think if you can handle it, like, I mean, the first time, like, obviously do it with other people, but I would totally just do them by myself and just like,
right, have see a like what happens.
Yeah. Cause I think it always, you like start to get self-conscious, like the way that you always get self-conscious. But then when you're on hallucinogens, you're like, wait, why do I care what anybody else thinks of me? And why, like, everyone else is just thinking about themselves. Like, nobody's thinking about me. And you just have these realizations that I feel like are, and I do think, and then the problem is then if you're like, oh, I can only access that when I'm like on hallucinogens, that's not really true. Like you can get to that point.
Yeah. It's just a way of like reframing the way you think about life.
And it like forcibly reframes life for you.
Yeah.
And I needed a forcible reframing.
Yeah. I think a lot of people need a forcible reframing.
Yeah.
And then it's like up to you to do whatever non-drug steps it takes to like get to that.
And I never meditated before I did shrooms ever. I was like, that's not going to fucking work. I'm not. Yeah. And then I started meditating and I was like, wow, this actually really works. Like it makes a huge difference.
It really does.
So I'm like a total cliche. I'm like,
do you meditate every day?
There have been times where I like try to do it every day. And I don't know, my headspace minutes are like really high, not to brag.
I'm jealous. Mine, I think I'm like at 130, which is a pretty big deal because I'm just so bad at doing things on a daily basis.
Yeah, like, I think I'm at like 3,000 headspace minutes. What,
I almost like just like threw up in shock.
That just means I've had a lot of like mental breakdowns where I really need to be meditating.
How long do you meditate at it for? What's your like usual time?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. But they keep a little streak at the bottom of it, and I'm really competitive, so I'm like, I can't break my streak, like I have to keep.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that I'll fall off when I feel like my life is like going okay, and then
as soon as I get one positive thing, and I'm like this with medication too, where I'll be like, I'm so bad at taking it the same time every day, and like if I can take my meds at the right time every day, like morning and night for a week, I'm just like, hell yes, cured, next please. Next. And then like I won't take it for 2 days, like kind of by accident, like I'll be like in my head I'm like, you should take it, and
because you're
like,
still riding the wave of succeeding.
I'm just like, I fucking got this, like ready to like put the top down and go on a road trip, and then it's like, no bitch, it's not how it works.
Yeah. And I honestly, like, life will always humble you and bring you back to like, you need to like meditate again. Like you, and I not that I believe that everything happens for a reason or like any of that kind of stuff, but I do think that like there are some life experiences where I'm like, this fucking sucks so much that I have to get back into like taking care of myself and like trying to be more in the present and like really understanding like how my brain works. And like, I wouldn't ever have those moments if I wasn't like really going through it. So I think that like, because I did shrooms like that one time and like knowing that there's a way to access that, like that made me like be willing to do that work whenever I like am really going through it.
Yeah. And I think the more you reflect on life and like get to, the more you do the kind of work of like getting to know yourself, etc., the more you realize that like every day is kind of a trip.
There's
if you
much
really
to think
about it. Yeah. That like
every day
is like a simulation where the world is yours for the taking.
Yeah.
Like you can do whatever you want. And it's like about tapping into that kind of powerful mindset.
And the present moment. I've been reading like a lot of Eckhart Tolle, who like I love. I was listening to his Oprah Super Soul episodes.
God, Super Soul Sundays have really been killing it.
Yeah, they've really been killing it. And I love Pema Chodron, who does like a lot of
great stuff. I just listened to hers last night.
Yeah. And I mean, we all probably need to be a lot more in the present moment, which is stupid because like basically all I do is like be on the internet. But I don't think that I like kind of wish the internet didn't exist and I could just go back to reading books. Like I would read a book a day when I was a kid. And just,
yeah, I know. Remember like in the summertime, you'd just have like a book list and you just read and you'd get like 40 books under your belt.
But I do think that's also where I got all my fucked up ideas about how like love should work, because I thought it was like,
I thought it was like Sweet Valley High or something.
Then like everything would work out. Yeah, that's not how it is. Maybe I was reading the wrong. But I read like a lot of Sarah Dessen books. Do you remember her?
No, what were those?
She wrote these like basically like teen like romances, and like there's this book called The Summer I Turned Pretty.
I think someone was just maybe my best friend is like, she likes to read like a lot of like YA
like
stuff, and it was
this
like
girl
that.
Who was like, I was ugly, but like then I turned pretty this one summer, and like these two boys who like I was always friends with, but they like never saw me like for who I was, and then I turned pretty, and they like both were in love with me, and I like had to, and I was like, relatable.
Yeah, I would be like, yes, that
I was, like,
is
can't
how
wait
it
for
works.
That to literally happen to me when I'm 16.
I just thought like things in life would have like the kind of like Sweet Valley High high stakes drama. Like I remember feeling like so let down when I got to high school, because like I spent all middle school just reading like R.L. Stein and like Sweet Valley High.
Yeah, and
like,
getting ready.
All that shit. And like watching Grease and like mm-hmm. every like rom-com, teen rom-com that came out. And I was like, I'm so ready for fucking high school where we're all just like grown up.
Those were all documentaries.
Yeah. And then I get into high school and I'm like, everyone looks like a baby here.
Everyone
like,
looks really young.
So young. Like, where are like the yeah. old people?
I was like, I thought I was going to be like pulling like a Hilary Duff, Chad Michael Murray, like kissing in the rain, a Cinderella story moment. And instead I was like in therapy at age 15.
Yeah. I was like, this sucks. I'm doing drugs. It was.
What drugs were you doing in high school?
Oh my God, what drugs wasn't I doing in high school? I just fully went like in. I mean, I started with like weed, obviously, which was my gateway drug, mm-hmm. which in my case turned out to be like fully true. Like it led like
you could be like the spokeswoman for weed being a gateway
yeah,
drug.
Like my mom was like, it's a gateway drug, and I was like, fuck off. And then soon enough, like I was just like taking pills. Like I had a whole period of like blowing like Xanax bars in my car, and then like it was just kind of whatever I could get my hands on.
So you really were living like a euphoria.
I went like full euphoria. Like I was Rue, except
okay,
with
people
like,
are like, that's not realistic.
No, that was like, that's the most realistic representation I've seen of like
of a your high school
of my high school experience.
Okay,
no fentanyl or like heroin ever got in the picture, but I feel like if I had been at it for long enough, it would have finally gotten there.
Because I was like, what the fuck? Like, I never smoked weed in high school because I knew that, like, once I started smoking weed, I was just gonna, like, want to be high.
Yeah.
I mean, weed is a gateway drug because you're like, oh, it's, like, better to not be sober.
Yeah, like, I love just being stoned. Now I can't be, like, stoned
really.
In the day. Like, I can, like, at night to, like, wind down and, like, watch a program or, like, go to sleep. But, like, I can't really like smoke weed during the day.
Yeah.
And in high school, I was like blunted from the time I woke up until like I would just like black out at night.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I knew a lot of people like that. And I was like, well, I have to get into Brown so that all my life works out for me. So I can't do that.
Yeah. You had
and now
like
I'm
a
like,
goal.
I should have been fucking smoking weed the whole time. Like, why was I working so hard?
My goal, I was literally like, my idols are all fucking dead. Like it was like Janis Joplin,
nobody
like Jim
dies
Morrison.
A virgin. Life
yeah,
fucks
it was
us
like
all.
27 Club, bitch. Like I was just like so. It was really backwards, and I was just like, "You are literally the only cool people in this world. Do tons of drugs. Mm-hmm. Like that is how you are cool."
You didn't watch any like Dare videos?
No, I was just like, whatever. That's lame. I didn't care. It was like anyone, like whatever anyone told me. I was just like, and what? Like, you're either lying or like, I don't believe you. Or if you're not, I don't care.
Like, okay, so you were really like a Rue.
It was true Rue.
Okay. That's
real
crazy.
Rue hours.
I feel
yeah.
like I don't, I, and that was definitely not my experience. So I was like, euphoria is so unrealistic.
Like, no, yeah. I was like, whoa, this is like very much like, it was very similar to my
and
experience.
And you went, you didn't go to like a send you to the mountains kind of
reason. Yeah, I went to like therapeutic boarding school at the end of a mountain road in like Redding, California.
Wow. Like, I had a friend who went to, I have like my friend who's just like so gay and like was sent to like a mountain therapy with like a bunch of straight dudes and they had to have a feelings wheel because like the straight men
they couldn't like identify.
They couldn't identify their feelings. So they would be like, how are you feeling today? And they'd be like, fine. And they're like, how do you take a spin on the feelings wheel? And like, let us know like how you're really feeling. And they really had to do that. And
wow.
He was just like, this like little gay guy was just like, what the fuck is happening? I have so much trauma that I want to like articulate and these men are here. Like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he have like a positive experience?
No, of course not.
No. A feelings wheel sounds like.
It was like conversion therapy. Like, cause he
was. Where
was
the school that he went to?
It wasn't, I don't think it was really a school. It was like one of those like outward. Is that like a thing?
Yeah.
Those, where they
or like a wilderness
the,
program?
Wilderness therapy. Yeah.
Okay.
And then
you
they
like
sent
hike?
Him to Sedona where he was just like.
That's
with
cool.
I know. It was kind of cool. And there was like a bunch of like vortexes and like
hell yeah.
crystal therapy and like stuff like that. I mean, I don't think any of it was. He was like, my parents wasted so much money on that. Like, why did they send me there?
Yeah. I think it's like people have a really complicated relationship with yeah. like their.
But did you like your.
School? It was a mixture. Like, it definitely saved my life. Like, it got me out of my, I was able to like sober up for a period of time and like get my shit together. And then like it taught me a lot about myself. Like they're all about like go back into like your core negative beliefs about yourself and like dismantle them and like what's your pain and what's your shame and like now you're gonna tell everyone. But then there's also a side where they use all of that against you. So like
that sounds Catholic.
It almost is kind of like okay. It's borderline Catholic, but that wasn't like there were no religious affiliations. It was just like really intense like self-help modalities that were kind of like started in the late 50s, early 60s by like a guy that ended up becoming like a cult leader.
Oh my God, I know about
that. The Synanon cult.
Was he the guy who started AA?
He came from an AA, like he was in AA, but then he felt like he wasn't, like he had advanced beyond like their like modalities. So he started his own group called Synanon.
And everybody was living there.
And everyone was living there. And originally it was alcoholics, but then he started attracting heroin addicts. So he kicked all the alcoholics out. He was like, your problems are like whatever, like go to AA. And then just started accepting heroin addicts and would like help them detox. And then they all would just like move in there. And then they would do this thing called the game where they would sit around in a circle and like indict each other and then like scream. It would like you would just focus in on one person at a time and you could say anything you wanted to, like you could be like as mean and vicious and cutting, like you couldn't physically threaten them, but you could be like, you think you're so fucking smart, you're so stupid, and like blah blah blah, like bring up shit from their past and like shame them, and then the whole group could like join in, and the whole point was to like break someone
that's
down
like
to nothing.
Tale.
Yeah, and
like
then
they have a scene like that.
Yeah, and then like reinstill them with like the values of the group. So it's basically mind control, and like they're using like CIA mind control tactics, but in this like self-help sobriety setting.
I remember hearing about that on My Favorite Murder, I think.
Yeah, they talked about it, and then eventually that like people that had been a part of that program, they would start their offshoot program. So most of the schools that became therapeutic boarding schools all go back to that. Like I'm reading
that's
a book.
Up.
It's fucked up. And so that's like the kind of stuff we were doing on like a little more watered down scale.
I feel like I read an expose about like those schools being like they were all like really abusive and like people were like they like traumatized me even more because I guess they all built off that.
Yeah, and there are varying degrees of like abuse and like human rights violations that happen to like teenagers in these kinds of institutions. And mine was pretty like. Like, yeah, they could, like, scream at you and, like, call you names. And, I mean, you would get put through some shit. But they couldn't, like, physically, like, restrain you or touch you in any way, like, against your will. I mean, they kind of would in, like, workshops
and
stuff.
It was just, like, low-key human rights violation.
It's low-key, yeah. Okay. It's like, wow, I was, like, so humiliated multiple times. And I'm still now, even in therapy, like, uncovering moments where I'm like, God, that was really fucked up.
But
like,
it helped in some way?
It helped in some ways and then really hurt in other ways because you're going through all this, like, hardcore fucking therapy kind of shit.
Oh, my God.
But it's administered by people that they don't have, like, it's not like they went to college for it. They don't have a background. They just like live in the woods.
That's like me diagnosing Caroline.
No, it is like you diagnosing Caroline Calloway. It exactly is. We have some reader mail to get into. Okay, here we go. Hi, Lara and maybe guest. I'm just listening through the back catalog. I'm at the episode in OKC where you stalked the Vanderpump Rules cast for the weekend at the club. So thanks for that. Anyways, I've had a long history of spiraling, babying out, getting too drunk, begging for attention, dating the wrong people right after a breakup, moving across the world, drugs, sex, you name it. I'm proud of my past. I also went to therapeutic boarding school, whoop, whoop, but I'm also growing up. I don't have a desire for any of these hilarious yet psycho patterns to occur. I've been in a really loving and healthy relationship for 4 months. I can't picture myself with anyone but this guy. I really think he's the love of my life, but recently he's been babe. He started crying to me while I was on shrooms before a Kacey Musgrave concert. I still had a blast, TBH, that he thought we were on different parts of our journey. He's 5 years older than me and has a full-blown career. I'm working my first shitty office job just trying to get through the work week. He's extremely neat and regimented, and I'm a fucking mess. My apartment is filthy and I'm always late and I get really emotional a lot. I realized I got lost in the sauce of our relationship. I didn't keep up with therapy, my social life, or my apartment. I just figured I'm so happy and forgot about all that stuff. On his end, we realized he has a pattern in relationships of being too empathetic to his partner. For example, if I've had a hard day at work and I end up having to comfort him because he's upset for me, we realized he's also really repressed and is uncomfortable by sadness. He acknowledged this side of the issue too, and so we took a break. It was a week that at first was positive for me until I spiraled into overthinking and loneliness. Again, still avoiding babe behavior. It's just hard to be a sad babe and not a drunk, horny babe. So we hung out after that week as planned, and he said he felt really bad keeping me on hold. He didn't have an answer and really thought we each needed to work through these issues on our own. He didn't think it was right to have his cake and eat it too. We're so happy together otherwise, so I told him I saw us together for years to come, and he said he could still see that too. We hugged for a long time and said we loved each other. At first, I was like, okay, what's one more week? But then I realized that these issues have been here my whole life. They're not going to get fixed in a week, and if we got back together tomorrow, we wouldn't have fixed anything. I respect that, but I'm daunted by the fact that maybe this is a marathon and not a sprint. This could be months. I don't know what to tell people, if I'm single or not. I'm horny, but I don't want to sleep around, and neither does he, but I don't think we're together. Is it babe or babe to be patient and work this out? Is it worth sticking around, or should I just move on? Am I going to be fucked over? Anyways, I love this podcast so much. Listening to it 24/7 has kept me sane. Love and light. Achy, breaky heart.
Damn. Wow, that's pretty relatable. I'm not going to lie.
I think it's cool that you guys are communicating so hard about all your like issues.
I feel like that's really rare that you'll get a man to communicate that much.
Yeah. And like, I would say, I don't feel like there's a reason to like not trust that he's telling you the truth. But then again, it's like, who knows what the fuck men think? Like, I don't want to be like he's fucking with you or trying to get around like not wanting to be together, because I don't get that impression.
No, I think that I feel like this has happened to me so many times, but I think that like he's being honest. I just think the hard thing is knowing. Like, first of all, you don't want to be waiting around, but like it takes people a long time, like sometimes years, to work through whatever they're going through. And like, you don't want to be waiting around for them to get their shit together.
Yeah. I feel like if you really love each other, you should just like stick it out and see how things go for a while. Like, you say you don't know if you're single, so I assume that you're maybe still sleeping together or seeing each other. It just isn't the same as it was prior to this kind of like come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. I feel like you guys definitely should talk about like whether or not you are single or not, because that's not gonna be great. Like,
yeah,
you definitely want to be clear on what the situation is.
Yeah, define the relationship and then go from there.
But I don't think that, like, if you guys have a really healthy relationship otherwise, I don't think you need to like throw the whole relationship out because you guys are both having problems. Like, everybody has problems, and if people work through them like in therapy or like in a serious way besides just like using negative coping mechanisms, I think that could like actually make your relationship stronger.
Yeah, totally. And also, it's like, sometimes with him saying you guys are on different journeys, like, and you noticing,
was that when they were on shrooms? Like, were they on different trips?
They were on, like, is that shrooms? Okay, let me see. The reader was on shrooms. I don't know if the guy was on shrooms.
That's, you're definitely on different journeys.
Then you might be on different journeys, which is okay. But then also, sometimes you just aren't not meant to be together.
Yeah.
If you're like two different people, you can still like have great sex and interaction with someone and not be meant to like be with them forever.
I think whatever this is, it requires more conversation with your partner. Mm-hmm. Definitely more conversation. But I just feel like it's such a relatable situation where you're like, I want to be with this person, but like, they're not really there emotionally, and like, I'm not really there emotionally. And like, in an ideal world, like, we would both work it out like as soon as possible. But like, that's not really how life happens all the time. And
yeah. I fully have been in that situation.
He's also
before.
5 years older than her, right?
So yeah.
That's just like different journeys as well. Like, I feel like I tend to date men who are older than me because, like, men who are younger just, like, tend to be really immature, but it's still, like, very... Then you get into a situation where it's, like, are we on, like, different life paths? Because we have, like, an age difference that, like... I don't know at what point it becomes, like, a substantial age difference, but... 5 years is, like, kind of a lot.
That's a lot, but I also am, like, I'm not one to subscribe to, like, age being the biggest problem. I think it's, like, what stood out to me in this email was, like, just the fundamental differences in, like, approaching life. Like, you're, like, he's really neat. He's, like, an empath. Like, he's all these things. And then I am, like, the opposite of him in a lot of ways.
Sometimes opposites are not right for each other.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just, like... You were meant to connect for like a brief period of time, but then really all relationships just bring up like whatever issues you're dealing with to the surface.
Yeah.
And so maybe the purpose of this relationship is to like show you something about yourself that you weren't really aware of. And then you set out on the journey of like dealing with that.
I think that's really important where it's like things are just not always meant to last forever. And it's so hard to know whether or not you are like holding on to a relationship because you're so attached to it and it like brings you security or because like it's actually like a good relationship and is going to work out.
Yeah.
That's hard to figure out.
It is hard. And like, I mean, I had my last like serious relationship. I felt like we connected on so many levels, but really on the biggest levels were fundamentally like very different people.
Yeah.
And then each of us triggered the other person's like issues like incredibly. And that's like kind of the moment that I was realizing like, damn, like I'm really fucking depressed. Like I need to like figure this out and like really try and like change that. Yeah. About myself. Like, I don't think I can be in a relationship with someone when I'm like actively dealing with this 24/7.
Yeah, there's just not. I mean, I think, but also like, there are just some fundamental incompatibilities where it's just like, it wouldn't be fair of both of us to like try and change this for each other because that's just kind of how we are.
Like, if you want to do shrooms before Kacey Musgrave's concert and like throw all your clothes on the floor when you get home, it's like, that's your life, babe. Yeah. Like, and if it's going to be like painful or feel like you're being less you to have to cut that stuff out, then it's not really that worth it.
Yeah. That's hard though. It's definitely a hard situation. It sucks. Especially if you guys have been, I don't know how long they've been together.
I think it was like 4 months or something.
It's just, it's really easy. I feel like to be like, oh, every relationship I'm in should last forever. And like, this should be the love of my life. And that's just like not always the case.
I go right to a place of like, we're going to get married.
Me too. Literally making eye contact on the street with someone. I'm like, okay, so like our kids are going to be like kind of cute. Like, I don't know what their name should be.
But yeah. Like, and I'm like, what would our wedding look like? Wedding look or maybe like? We like just won't have
I'm
one.
I'm going to start like, making like a wedding Pinterest board.
Yeah. Like even though I'm not in that, like I don't care about that day to day. As soon as someone...
Your brain
I feel
goes
interested
there
it just goes there. There's no stopping
and
it.
I feel like women are always judging themselves for that, but it's like I feel like that's just how our brains are like primed to go immediately.
Yeah, I mean it's what we've been taught like societally, like the pattern that emerges over and over, so it makes sense that you would just be like, and then we settle down and we're a happy
and we
family
work out all our differences and like whatever, like that's just sometimes like in I feel like unless you have kids together like and things really aren't working, like just like
you gotta say bye.
Yeah,
and you don't even need to like get married really,
but like if you're I feel like the thing is if you're continuously finding yourself having the same conversation like over and over and over again and it's like the same fight, like that's a really big sign that like it's just not gonna work.
Yeah,
because totally. I feel like I've been in situations like that where it's like we keep having the same fight over and over and over again because clearly this is like a huge incompatibility and like it's not going to get resolved and we can't like overcome this.
No, and then it's like becomes unfun.
It's just not fun if you're suffering like most of the time and you're like worrying
and you're navigating like from one fight to the next with like a few good days in between.
Oh, that sucks.
That's
so
the
bad.
Worst
when you're like, oh, it's been like 3 days without a fight, you're like writing it down.
Yeah, or like have that like good period before it's like something else like brews up and like rears its ugly head. It's not the look. Also, I mean, props to this guy for like bringing it up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, prior to the Kacey Musgraves concert is bad timing, especially like on a shroom journey. And I kind of commend you for having like the mental stability to like make it through a shrooms moment where someone like drops that realness on you. But it's kind of cool that he's at least being like upfront and being like, I feel like we're very different. Mm-hmm. Chat, you guys got to talk though.
You guys definitely need to have a conversation. I just like that's not very clear. I don't know what that necessarily means. Like, we're just very different. Like, that doesn't, is that like just a comment or is that an ultimatum? Like, I don't know.
Dear Lara, I'm a new reader slamming and shuffling old eps. What's wrong with J Brands? I'm wearing Love Stories as we speak. Fellow 6 foot tall babe over here. Also C attached. P.S. Tons of Love Stories available on the Real Real as well. Love and Light. My God, Love Stories. This is a real deep cut.
What are those?
This is on the early episodes of Babe. I talked about these like hideous Fendi like UGG boots that I had. I have a pair of these that I got like in Paris on like a family trip. They're so gross.
They look very Scandinavian.
They're Scandinavian. They're kind of like Star Wars-y too. Like if you took this squirrel out of the mix.
Is that like an elf moment? What is that?
It's just like a little squirrel. It's really, the whole thing is unfortunate.
Those are not cute shoes. I'm sorry.
No, they're really bad. I haven't ever tried to like sell mine and I haven't worn them in like over 10 years because I'm like, maybe someday they'll get cute again.
I mean, ugly shoes are kind of a thing, right?
Like, yeah, but these are like Balenciaga above and beyond shoes. The call of ugly duty. Like they don't, like I'm... They say in fashion everything comes back around, but I don't know if these
are dead and buried.
Yeah. What's wrong with J Brands? I don't think anything's wrong with J Brands, but I feel like they changed. I don't know. Did you ever fuck with that brand of jean?
The jeans?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't think those were always really expensive.
Yeah. They were expensive. They were like, since I was tall, they were the only jeans that like felt like they fit right. But then I found like a life hack J Brand outlet in like near USC.
There's always a J Brand outlet somewhere, or like a Lucky Brand.
Yeah, they were like, you could get them for like 50% off or whatever. It was like a warehouse just like packed with like pairs of J Brand. So that's mm-hmm. where I would then get them. But then that shut down. So then I stopped getting any J Brand jeans altogether.
I'm not really like a jeans person.
No,
I'm not really like
you into, like dresses. You
I
said.
Like dresses because they don't require me to wear pants. But like, I feel like I get a lot of jeans that are just like thrift store jeans.
Yeah, now I just walk down the street and then buy like Levi's from
because
like
it was that was when it was like a skinny jean era, mm-hmm. and then you needed those jeans that like really fit you well. And now it's like nobody wears skinny jeans anymore. I think that's why J Brands are out.
Yeah, because they always wear just like
they
a skinny
were always,
jean,
like, tight jeans. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't think of anything worse than like a skinny jean.
We're not
restricting
in like a political
way.
Climate where like we can be wearing pants like that, like things are already too hard.
I feel like the only person that can wear skinny jeans still is like Kate Moss.
Yeah,
like she'll always be able to, but that doesn't mean that we
they're
all
not that
will.
Doesn't mean they're comfortable.
No,
on her.
I don't think she's even that comfortable in them.
She's definitely not comfortable with a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't think she's experienced like true comfort.
No.
Maybe like a handful of times
not
in her
for
life.
A long time.
Elizabeth and James for Kohl's came out. And I thought I was going to be really offended, like Mary-Kate and Ashley's clothing line. Mm-hmm. But it actually has like some kind of cute stuff in there.
I don't believe you.
There was one, I don't even believe myself when I say it, but there was one pair of pants that was like really not offensive. Like it looked like cute leggings that had like a front zip in the front or like a pant, like a black pant with a front zip.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
I mean, I feel like you would have to actually feel them.
Yeah. I don't trust them enough to like just order them. And then I think that their like inseam is also really short. So like, I think they would come up to like a capri level on me that I would not feel comfortable with. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
I'm so happy to be your guest today.
This was so fun. You'll have to come back again now that you're an LA native. Tell everyone where they can find you for the new listeners.
You can find me on Instagram at Binch City, BINCHCITY. It's like Broad City, but it's Binches instead.
Binches.
Yeah.
We're going to do the bonus episode and talk more. If you want to get a bonus episode, it's very easy. You just go to patreon.com/babepodcast, and it's there that you'll find tons and tons of bonus content. So... we're going to do that now.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.
Babe?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.